Welcome to a TechTarget podcast with Jen Looper, a developer advocate at Telerik, a progress company. She has over 15 years' experience as a software developer. She is a web and mobile developer and founder of Ladies First Media, which specializes in creating cross-platform educational mobile apps. I'm Jan Stafford, executive editor of TechTarget's Application Development Group. Welcome, Jen. Knowing that women make up fewer than 25% of the tech force, according to multiple surveys and reports, what are your thoughts on the current state of women in technology based on your experience?
Yeah, so this is a little interesting because we've seen numbers go down, actually, especially among mid-career and senior women. And people have said that, you know, oh, this is a pipeline problem. So people, you know, great organizations like Girl Develop It and Women Who Code have been trying to train up new developers. And this is great, but what we need to also remember is that people tend to drop off. You know, they see that they just can't seem to advance in an organization. The two key things that people cite for their dropping out or moving along and changing careers is the lack of advancement. Mm-hmm. The lack of, like, a glass ceiling, basically, and then the inability to exist within the culture that a lot of these companies have. And I have a feeling that's a lot worse in Silicon Valley than in certainly the organizations that I've worked in. But I do know that there are some serious problems with the culture that need to be addressed, and that has to be addressed from the top. And to address it from the top, we need to make sure that there's no glass ceiling and that mid-career women could advance to senior levels and influence the culture. So those are kind of two. They're sort of hand in hand. And I see that more progress is going to be made in companies, actually, like Progress, in these kind of enterprise, large companies that are not kind of these kind of small startups that really have a very homogeneous culture, but like bigger companies where women feel safe to advance and where there is a culture in place to allow them to advance. So I'm hoping that we can make some changes and make some evolution going on here. I'm actually part of the Progress Culture Council. It's a 2-year stint, and Progress is trying to align itself a little bit with all of the cultures of the companies that it's acquired recently. But it's been a very interesting process, and I can see that it will help kind of align everyone into the same set of goals that everyone can work towards. And I think that'll help people advance. It's real interesting.
Yes, it is. So what can be done to enhance the amount of women in tech, especially from the point of view as a developer at a large enterprise software company?
Yeah, I think this two-pronged approach of helping get the pipeline flowing freely, and I do see this happening. I see many more young women in the conferences that I attend, young students and recent grads who come up and say that they're excited to get into the workforce. So we need to make it easy for them to feel comfortable within the companies that exist, so that's making sure the culture is aligned to their needs, and then making sure that there are rules, regulations, and a path to advancement so that they don't just kind of thrash in these junior-level roles and then just bail after 5, 6, 7 years. I hope that, you know, expanding the pipeline and changing the culture will help. I hope so. We shall see.
And how is Progress as a company aiming to impact this change? You know, what are some examples of actions you've seen at Progress in the industry?
Yeah, Progress actually has a lot of really awesome senior women, and that is just kind of, to me, telling that there are so many, you know, women in, you know, visible in front of the company as, you know, powerful people in positions of power who can make decisions. That's a great kind of role model aspect, but it also is inspirational to people like me, kind of mid-career folks who can say, you know, maybe I could actually, you know, advance in a company like this and then, mm-hmm. you know, work to make that happen. It's kind of exciting. I know Melissa Pools was just cited as by Forbes, one of the big groups as a woman to watch, but there are also senior engineers who are very awesome, and they've been recognized by the company as such. It's really nice to see, you know, these kind of senior ladies who are just, you know, crushing it, doing so nicely.
What do you think the major obstacles are to making this kind of change in the industry?
I think when you have companies that tend to hire basically carbon copies of each other, one thing that happened recently is that somebody did a little experiment making all of the resumes, just taking the names off of all of the resumes that came into HR and just vetting them, you know, only on skills and experience. And the number of women who came through that process was considerably larger than companies who are, you know, keeping the names on and watching, you know, and just trying to hire basically carbon copies of the current developer force. I think that if we have to resort to tricks like that, then by all means, let's try, you know, maybe get some different patterns of hiring that would allow people to come into these companies that are not, you know, the exact expectation of what a developer would look like.
So what advice do you have for young women looking to become developers?
I think that it's important to network, and not network only with, you know, people your own age, but try to find mid-career and senior women that, you know, that might become a support system and might help you with some tips on advancement. I think there are a lot of helps in place for young women trying to get into the workforce, but making that first step, I think, can be tricky if you don't have any kind of support system in place. So, you know, get your network together, get onto LinkedIn, reach out. Don't be afraid to blog. Don't be afraid to interview. One thing that surprised me when I was at Angular Connect recently, I was trying to get young women developers to speak on camera. We were doing little interviews. They're kind of silly interviews, but they were so shy. And I was like, come on, ladies, let's get it together. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. There's a lot of weirdness on the internet. There's a lot of trolling. But if you get your support system together, you know, you can kind of protect yourself from some of the weirdness that you are going to encounter. I mean, I've encountered it. So just, you know, don't be scared, and definitely leverage a network that you build. And we're here to help you, so reach out to me.
And what has motivated you to become an advocate for women in technology and developer fields?
I am just trying to do my part as one of these kind of minority types to do as much mentoring as I possibly can. I'm very happy that we just hired another female developer advocate in our organization who actually has real-world experience working with, I think, she's from Cincinnati, and her organization is the STEM Girls, so it's kind of like Women Who Code. I think she founded the Cincinnati chapter of Women Who Code, and it's just amazing what she's been able to do to just get out there and start things. So partnering with people like that and then, you know, working on an agenda, I'm very excited that we're looking to work with the Girl Scouts, actually. She and I have a little plot that we're working on for a conference to work with Girl Scout troops and do some, you know, small workshops so that they can earn badges about coding. You know, these kind of little things to kind of enhance the pipeline and get girls excited. I'm really excited about this sort of thing. So it's great to have someone that I can partner with in my organization who can help, you know, actually get this thing going. It's great.
So thank you so much for talking with me, Jen, and this is the end of our podcast.
Awesome. Well, I was happy to be able to talk to you.